Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stories of unusual people who have been maybe overlooked or misunderstood have always fascinated me. And so maybe for this reason, I'm attracted to the genre of historical fiction when I read. It gives us a glimpse into the hidden lives of the past, and maybe there's a little fiction weaved in there, but it makes it more interesting, right? A while back, I read a book called The Only Woman in the Room. And like many historical novels, it sent me down a path of exploring and learning about more of what I thought I already knew, but I clearly had no idea. This book had it all. There was a rising actress with breathtaking beauty who marries this wealthy man and is whisked off to paradise, but it soon becomes her prison. Eventually, she escapes from this, and disguised as a maid, she flees to America, where she impresses Hollywood producers. She goes on to win roles that would shape cinematic history. But what many people didn't know about her was that she was incredibly intelligent. And it took just one friend who genuinely cared about her, who listened to her, who sees her, who takes her seriously, and he helped her develop the idea that she had quietly been working on all these years. Hedwig, known as Hedy Lamarr, was famous for her beauty and her daring, questionable choices in acting roles. But with her encouragement from her friend, George Antheil, a musician, she co-invented technology that now serves as the foundation of things like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. But when she first invented it, it was kind of like frequency hopping. She invented it, and she wanted her and her friend George, and they wanted to help in the World War II effort, so they gave it over to the Navy, and the Navy looked at her and said, "Nice try, honey." They said, "How about you go on to do something more helpful for your works? You're a beauty and a face. Go sell war bonds." So they didn't even take her seriously. And I can't help but wonder how much more she could have contributed to this world if more than one person had believed her. You see, to be seen, to be raised up, to be encouraged to do what you were made for, what you are good at. In today's gospel reading from Matthew, it is a healing story, but it's more than just a physical healing story. It's a story of restoration, of being seen, of being raised up, and being encouraged into purpose. We hear of a woman who is often overlooked, yet fully seen by Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law. This is one of those few moments in Scripture where we are reminded that the disciples, yeah, they have families. Families who were likely known by Jesus and perhaps even among Jesus' followers and traveled with Jesus. And then just this one verse, verse 15, we see that Jesus touches her, heals her, and she immediately rises up and serves him. But this serving is more than just she gets up and serves Jesus tea and biscuits. In the original Greek, serve is diakona, where we get our root word from deacon. So Peter's mother-in-law is seen, is raised up, and encouraged to be the first deacon. You see, the story doesn't reaffirm patriarchal gender roles or ageism roles or any of that, but it challenges them. Peter's mother-in-law is seen, raised up, and encouraged to ministry. Jesus doesn't simply cure her fever. He restores her agency. And as with many healing stories in our Bible, Jesus restores not just the body. but relationship, purpose, and dignity. Jesus gives her agency where it had been taken away, and that is hope. And as a church, we are called by the waters and promises and baptism. We are called to see others as they might not see themselves. We are called to raise up, to encourage, and to restore agency where it feels lost. In a book called Greenhouses of Hope, Dr. Dory Baker explores what happens when churches do this. Churches cultivate long-lasting, faithful relationships, embodying hope within people. And one of the first things that she names that these communities do and do well is they look at someone and they see an architectural possibility within people. The story of Peter's mother-in-law, it's just 4 verses. And yet it appears in 3 of our scriptures, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this tells me it's an important story. And I think there's more to the story than what was told. I am quite certain that if someone were to write a historical fiction on Peter's mother-in-law, well, first of all, she would get a name. And then we would hear so much more about that one moment when Jesus walks into the room and looks at her, and to the others, it may seem like an ordinary look, but to her, it was a look that saw her soul. It was a turning point. And at this moment, her future was reopened. And what would that look like? I believe that in this story, Jesus looked at Peter's mother-in-law and saw an architecture of possibility. A hope. A look to outsiders, it might be ordinary, but to that one person, it was everything. Many of us have had moments like that, I hope. Many of us have had moments where people look at us in a way that changes everything. And as you think about that now, I hope these faces and names are coming to your mind. People who have believed in you. People who have brought gratitude and warmth and courage from within that you didn't know you had. For Hedy Lamarr, that person was George, the one who saw beyond a beauty in a face and recognized her true brilliance. Jesus walks into this room and cannot leave without seeing Peter's mother-in-law, without healing her, without raising her up. Because she was someone worthy of purpose. She was someone worthy of agency. Walter Brueggemann, a Hebrew scholar and theologian, emphasizes human agency is central to hope. And we all need hope right now. He writes that the hope God gives us is not sight and it's not inevitability. Say that 10 times fast. And it's not finality. But hope is nurtured and enacted in community. That is where hope lives. That is where hope grows. He goes on to say that Scripture breathes hope into each and every one of us, into our often skeptical and reluctant lives, and that hope then is translated into concrete action. God's love for the world in all of creation. You see, Christians, he say, do not expect a perfect world, but they do expect and hope to change it. And that is hope in action. We are called as a church to be ministers to the world around us. We are called to look at the hopeless and name the hope within them. We are called to raise up our siblings in Christ and to see possibility when they see none. That is our baptismal calling. That is what Christ did. That is what Christ still does through us. We know when we have been seen. We know when hope has been breathed into our lives. And we are called to do likewise. Amen.